Our reading today is from Ephesians chapter 2. It starts at verse 11, which is on page 1174. Remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Great. Well, good morning. My name's Matt, and I'm the curate for anyone who doesn't know me. And today we are thinking a little bit more about Ephesians. We've been having a series that was on Ephesians. But I want to start you off with a little question to think about. If I said to you, can you think of, just in your mind, let's say two Christians that you look at and you think, my goodness, if I could have a faith and walk with Jesus that looked like them, I'd be pleased. Okay, so just have a little picture in your mind. Who would you be picturing them? And then just ask yourself, what is it you think that makes their walk look like that? So if you were to evaluate, what is it you think that makes the difference? Okay, so that's what we're going to be exploring a little bit about this morning. And I thought it was important before we started to say it's not about gifting and it's not about calling, because we're all called and gifted to different things, but instead we're thinking really about two images, hopefully, that will help us. I've nicked these off Nicky Gumbel, so all rights reserved, etc. And he says some Christians are a little bit like the pilot light. They're burning, but it's actually not that big a burn, if you like. And then he says, but other people, they're like a massive sort of flame. And so we're trying to think about what is the difference? How could we burn brighter? Ephesians 2 is a great passage, and it gives us the things that have happened to all of us. So here are some of them. It says that we are at peace with God, that we are no longer enemies, but we're at peace with God. It says that we're his friends. It says that we have access and that we've been reconciled. And the thing I love about that reconciled is it's taking us back to how it was in the beginning. God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, and that's kind of his game plan, taking us back to that sort of intimacy. He's not yet finished. We are members of God's household. Now, I know, having been to some of your houses in here, that some of you have this sort of rule, if you like, where the first time you go into the house, you're a guest, and they make you a cup of tea. And then the next time you go back, you have to make your own tea because you're kind of part of the household. And I really like that we're not guests in God's house. We are part of his household. We are welcome. We're like part of the family. It's a wonderful truth. I love also that we are built on the foundation of the apostles. If I was to draw you my Christian family tree, it would have Peter and Paul and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Jesus and all sorts of people on the tree, and me not feeling very worthy to be on it at all. But all those people are part of our family tree. We are part of that journey. And the final thing that comes from this passage is that we are built together as a place for God. Often as kind of charismatics, as evangelicals, we talk about the Holy Spirit within us as individuals. But actually, as the whole body of Christ, God wants to dwell with the lot of us as well. We are making a temple together. So why is it then that some people seem to be small burning things and some people seem to be massively on fire for God? I want us to explore two things that in my experience seem to make the difference. The first one is this idea of treasure. Jesus talked about a man who found treasure in a field and he realized its worth, and so he sold everything he had to get it. They knew what faith meant. They knew how important it was. And when I talk to people who I can see, wow, I love what God's doing in your life, it's like prayer and reading the Bible and spending time with God, and their faith is like breathing. They wouldn't think about not doing it. It's so much part of their everyday routine. It's a bit like a meal. You know, they wouldn't go to bed without it because they'd be like going to bed hungry. And I long to get to that situation where actually God is so in the midst, at the forefront of my life, that it's like breathing and eating to me. I want it to be at the heart. And linked to that is camping. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of camping that we do, which is, if we're honest, quite fake camping. When we go to New Wine or our church camp and you've got a fridge and all that sort of stuff. No, when I was about 15, I used to do camping where it all goes in on your back and you have to carry it everywhere you go. And I remember at the start of this 15-mile trek that we were all meant to be doing, going through my bag and thinking, what can I ditch? Clearly not the bacon and eggs, I'm going to need them. What else can I ditch out of my bag? And so I looked through and I thought, you know, the thing that I don't need is the map for the last half a mile. I don't think I'll need that, because I'm going to know where I'm going for 14 and a half miles, and for the last half mile, I'm going to blag it, and it'll all be fine. And so you can probably guess what happened. We walked 14 and a half miles and then got miserably lost. And we asked the local where the campsite was, and they directed us to the campsite, and we arrived. And so we set up our tents and we made our bacon and eggs. And 7 o'clock came, and 8 o'clock, and 9 o'clock, and still none of the other groups had shown up. And we eventually got to midnight, and we were a bit surprised by this stage that no other group had arrived, until this guy turned up in his 4x4 saying, we've had a 4-hour police search for you, and we're about to call out the helicopters and charge your parents for it. And the thing that struck me, he then frog marched us half a mile down the road to the right campsite. But the thing that's always struck me is I had no idea how lost I was. I thought I was doing incredibly well with my beans and eggs and stuff, but actually I was really lost and I didn't know it. There's a verse in the Bible that says about how he who's been forgiven much loves much. And I've always found that quite tricky, because I wasn't a murderer beforehand. I hadn't got my massive list of kind of felonies and so on beforehand. And I've always thought, I don't want that to count against me. I don't want to love a little because I hadn't kind of gone to town and done loads of massive things wrong beforehand. But I realized that that was kind of relativizing my sin. It was like kind of saying it wasn't that important. And so what I do, and can I just encourage you perhaps to do the same, I do almost like a first date with God every now and then. Do you know, like when you go back to the place where you first met your partner or whoever, and it kind of reminds you of like what it was like. And so for me, I go back to the verses that were significant when I first got converted, and I play the songs that really moved me at the time. And I perhaps look at poems or art, or I go and talk to the people who kind of led me to faith. And actually, all of that helps to refresh my love for God again. It helps to set that fire again. On the 29th of July, I'm not going to be preaching a sermon. We're having a church service without a sermon, and we're having a testimony morning. So it's the chance for any of us who'd like to come up and say, this is what God has done in my life. I'm going to remember what's happened in my story. It might be the start. It might be something that happened in the middle, or it might be even something that's very recent, but a chance for us to celebrate together what is God doing and to refresh our love for each other. So we know what we've been saved from and to, and we remember our story. But the other thing that really strikes me is the thing that holds us back sometimes is trust. So Peter finds his faith to be much stronger in the winter, And there he is, standing on the ice instead of having to walk on the water. And for a lot of us, we would say sometimes faith is easy and sometimes faith and trust is hard. I have prayed for so many people you would not believe for healing, because I read a book by a man who started a healing ministry, and he said, actually, I just keep asking whoever it is, I say, can I pray for healing for you? And he said, and gradually I started to see some more answers. And so I do that. Anyone I meet who's sick, I'm like, I'll pray for you, you know. But actually, I've seen lots and lots of unanswered prayers. And every now and then I realize I've lowered the benchmark because I haven't prayed for anyone for a while. And I've chickened out lots of times because, well, I find it hard to trust. It's easy to trust if we always see answers. It's hard to trust if sometimes we don't. But I've come to an understanding that when I trust, I'm trusting in the goodness of a person, not that God's like a slot machine and he'll come through every time and do the thing I want him to do. I'm trusting in the goodness of a person. And that's really helped me. But I can't tell you how many times I've had to go back to God and say, God, I think my trust in you has waned a little bit. Forgive me, let me start again. And perhaps for some of you this morning, that's where you're at. That you've stepped out a bit and then struggled to trust because you felt, well, where was God when I needed whatever it was to happen? Last week I had my ordination, and thanks to those of you who came. But the thing that was almost most significant for me was when I went to do communion, and one of the ladies who was doing communion with me came in kind of all like this, and I thought, oh, this could be an opportunity to pray for her, let's see what happens. And sure enough, she had really bad sciatica. She had massive pain in her back, and she said, I'm not sure I can do communion. I said, well, would you mind if I prayed for you? And because she's a vicar, she can't say no. And it was amazing. I laid hands on her, and she was just healed like that. And no pain for the whole service, and no pain since, as far as I know. But that doesn't always happen. But I'm going to keep stepping out. And what I notice is that people who the flame is burning bright, they keep trusting. Even when they think, oh, do I need to do this again? God, you didn't heal last time, but I'm going to do it again. I'm going to keep walking out, keep stepping out, keep taking a risk. One of the things that I think is next for us as a church is testimony, where your stories are up here every week, where we have a slot every week, where we perhaps have whole services of testimony, and where we get used to this narrative of God is doing stuff with us. I think that would just be amazing. And so the 29th is the start of that. And then we're hoping to just keep leaving that space so that me and you and whoever can come up and say, this is what God's done, and it's amazing. So I thought we'd start off with a bit of prayer, if that's all right. Probably my favorite service with us so far was when we prayed for each other. And lots of us kind of said, yeah, I'd like prayer. And lots of us prayed for each other. And so we're going to have a little go at that this morning. And if you don't want to get involved, that's absolutely fine. You can just pray quietly in your head. But for the rest of us, it'll be wonderful to pray for each other. This should be a really natural thing for us. So if you'd like to stand, and I'm going to give a few different invitations to have prayer. And if I do all three, and then if you could just raise a hand if you want prayer, and then someone near you will come and find you and pray for you. And if you don't want to get prayed for, obviously don't raise your hand. Okay? Is that all right? Got a few smiles, we're doing all right. Okay. So the first thing is, for some of us perhaps have lost our first kind of fresh love for God, that we can remember a stage when we absolutely loved him, but our love has waned a little bit, and we just need that restoring. So that might be some of us this morning. That's the first one. The second thing might be that perhaps your faith has no longer been a priority. It's not been like breathing and eating for you. It's slipped down the pecking order, if you like. It's slipped down the priorities. And perhaps this morning is a chance to get prayed for and to say, God, I want you to be number one again. I want you to be my top priority, and for God to help you in that. And the third group is about trust. A lot of us this morning perhaps have tried to step out, and God hasn't healed, or he hasn't answered in the way we want him to. And this morning perhaps is a chance to say, God, I'm sorry, and for someone else to pray over you, God, would you just pour your trust and your faith anew into my brother or sister in Christ? And would you help them to keep stepping out, to keep striving to see you do things around us. So three things. If you'd like prayer, if you'd like to just raise a hand, and someone near you will come and pray for you. We don't have a prayer ministry team, particularly this morning, so if you see someone near you with a hand up, could you just reach a hand out and pray for them, ask what they'd like to pray for, and just pray for them. Feel free to move. You don't need to stay in your seats. There's still time, so if anyone else wants prayer, do just put up a hand and someone will come and find you and pray for you. If you're not being prayed for or asking for prayer, perhaps just pray yourself in the quiet and remember your own journey. Remember that love that you had for God and ask Him to refresh it this morning. If there's anyone else who still wants prayer, there's still time. If you just raise a hand, someone will come and find you. And if there's anyone who's got any words or pictures they'd like to share, if you'd like to come up. Father God, I pray for each person who's put up their hand and for those who wanted to perhaps but haven't. Lord, I pray that you would refresh our love for you. Would you just turn up the heat on our fires? Father, where we have struggled to trust you, would you forgive us, Lord? We are sorry. Would you help us to step out again, knowing that the results are yours? That you ask us to have faith and step out, and then it's up to you, the rest of it. Help us to trust you and to only feel like we need the responsibility for the stuff that's actually on us, which is the stepping out and taking risks and asking you to walk with us. Father, bless you that you know what it's like to be a person, to live on this earth. Would you help us as we walk with you? Amen.